And welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with issues, people, and topics that are important to you. And you know, here in Colorado Springs, we have to keep in mind that our community represents all sorts of varying levels of, I guess you would say, humanity. You have people who are homeowners, you have people who are renters, you have people who are homeless and struggling to get off the streets and really wanting a home. And then you have some that are working to change their lives, to better their lives through home ownership. And, you know, more than 30 years ago, the United Nations General Assembly took an important step in promoting the idea that everyone deserves a decent place to live by declaring that the first Monday in October, today, would be World Habitat Day. And every year, Habitat for Humanity joins partners around the world to rededicate ourselves to recognizing that the basic right of everyone is to adequate shelter. Habitat for Humanity asks everyone to join together as one global network in communicating the message that everyone deserves the opportunity for a better future and that a decent place to live can remove barriers to opportunity, to health, and success that may have been part of a family's life for years or maybe generations, but does not have to be part of their future. Joining me this morning with information on World Habitat Day, we have Chris Medina, Executive Director and CEO of Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Did I say your last name right?
You did, and good morning. Always a pleasure to be on The Extra.
Oh, well, we are so glad that you could join us to talk about World Habitat Day. Why is this day celebrated? Why is it marked? And why? What makes it so important?
You know, we need to help everyone understand that we all need to live in dignity. And to do that, we all need decent and affordable housing, whether it's renting or home ownership. So no one truly sees, you know, we can't live our own lives in dignity if we don't have a decent place to live, and we can't see the need and help others to achieve that dignity of affordable housing without truly seeing our neighbors. And so World Habitat Day is one of those days where we can really emphasize to the community that affordable housing truly does impact each and every one of us, even when we think it doesn't. So that's our purpose on it today.
Well, and how does Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity specifically go about supporting this?
Well, for example, having somebody like you help us get the word out about World Habitat Day and Habitat for Humanity. But we also, locally, we've been here since 1986, and we're just now closing on our 180th family that we're assisting here in El Paso County. So not only do we build affordable and decent homes, we also do repairs and renovations. We have our Restore, which is a phenomenal resource for those folks who want to either repair or upgrade their homes in an affordable manner. And we do advocacy through our national, it's a nationwide cost of home campaign that we do in partnership with other affiliates and Habitat International. But it's also just getting out the word, like in a forum such as this, to say, hey, this is what affordable housing is, or it's meeting with our local city and county government officials, state, national. So there's all kinds of ways that we can help make a difference and help people to have correct information about what affordable housing means. So many of us think affordable housing is doesn't have a very good appeal. They see it as run-down housing, and that's not what we're talking about with simple, decent, affordable housing.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the needs for affordable housing. I don't want to overlook the Restore, one of my favorite places to go to, show allegiance to in Colorado Springs. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in this program. But first, let's talk about, you know, what are the needs for affordable housing in El Paso County? Do you have numbers on that?
Well, we're right around 75,000 people in El Paso County that are living in poverty, and we are one of the fastest growing in population counties in the U.S. And so, you know, when that population grows, and yes, we're bringing in higher paying jobs, but with those higher paying jobs are also service industry jobs and middle-income jobs that are supporting those higher needs, well, or the higher paying positions. Housing's a huge demand, and so you can't bring in these new companies if they don't have housing to go to. The people who are supporting all of these positions, they don't have affordable housing. So 1 in 7 people in Colorado alone, not just El Paso County, are paying more than 50% of their income just to housing. So when we're looking at our county growing approximately 8% over the next 5 years, and that's predominantly millennials and retirees coming to the area, they don't necessarily have that higher income to support the ever-increasing costs of housing. So that's huge. We're looking at programs, for example, veterans. We have over 84,000 veterans in El Paso County, and many of them are not at the higher income level. So how are they going to find housing that can meet their needs? And we serve 35 to 80% of the area median income. So say a family of four earning about $60,000 or less, that's who we're serving. So those are our entry-level police officers and first responders and our teachers and teachers' aides and people who are in the service industry and nursing assistants. Those are folks who honestly they can't afford to live in El Paso County. So that's what we're here to do, is to help as we leverage relationships with other nonprofits as well to expand affordable housing. How's right. that for a lengthy answer?
Well, but it does, you know, really, as you mentioned, when you're talking about that median income, sure, there may be people whose single income is that, but perhaps they're in a single parent home with kids support to support. Suppose they're in a perhaps dual career home, but yet one or the other of the parents has weighed whether paying for childcare is going to be equivalent to the salary that they're making, and so they make a different choice on that. And then you are looking at really struggling to find that affordable housing like you were talking about, and the struggle then sometimes will lead them farther outside of downtown Colorado Springs' inner core. And that just means that they are spending then more on commuting. So it's a lot of trade-offs there, and none of it adds up well for those who, as you mentioned, might be struggling to find that kind of housing. So today is World Habitat Day. We're talking a lot about that. What can our listeners do? If you're listening to this, you want to make a difference. What can our listeners do in support of World Habitat Day?
You know, it's not only just about volunteering, whether it's with Habitat or any other affordable housing entity, but it's becoming educated with correct information. There are books you can check out at the library, such as Evicted or The Color of Law. Take time to read that or get an Audible book. Take time to go on our website or other affordable housing websites to learn what does that really mean, especially when you look at the median house price in El Paso County is well over $300,000. So that means it takes 2 minimum wage jobs just to make basic rent, you know, so you need to make at least $47,000. Become informed about what are our statistics in our own home county. And there are many, many places to get that information. Always go to our website, pikespeakhabitat.org, if you want to learn more, or call us, and we will direct you to all sorts of resources to educate yourself on what is affordable housing and how does it strengthen our community when we all have that dignity of affordable housing.
Right. And you can support them also by going to the ReStore to get my plug in. I'm an upcycler, so I just hung on my wall over the weekend a picture frame that I picked up from the ReStore that I then popped out the other picture that was in there and put my own picture in there, and I'm happy as a clam with it. And the money that was spent there goes to support the services that Habitat for Humanity provides as well. We had an old garage door opener that we replaced. We were able to, the other one wasn't bad, but it was getting a little slower. We were able to take it down to ReStore, and you know, some people parted out, some people might be able to use it, and all of that is going to support their efforts. So I'm a big fan of the ReStore. All right, we're talking about World Habitat Day with Chris Medina, who's the Executive Director and CEO of Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. The conversation continues here on The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra. My guest right now, Chris Medina, Executive Director and CEO of the Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. We've been talking about World Habitat Day. We are marking it today, the first Monday in October, and it's been declared so by the United Nations General Assembly, which promotes the idea that everyone deserves a decent place to live. So let's talk a little bit, Chris, a little bit more in depth about why is affordable housing so important?
You know, it is key to having good financial, mental, and physical health by having a safe place to lay your head every night. And that was even pre-COVID, before we were all finding out we're not so sure we really love each other after we've been together so long in our own homes. But if you don't have a safe and decent place to live, and more than 50% of your income, or even more than 30% of your income is going to housing alone, then you cannot be proactive on your health. Children are not staying in the same schools or in the same neighborhood, so they're not keeping those relationships that are so important to their success with their teachers, with other school children. And when you're in an overcrowded situation, you don't have a quiet place to study and really focus. So success in education, which helps us all to move forward in life, that's a missing piece when you don't have a decent place to live. Then there's the hunger issue. If a child is hungry or a parent is hungry because they're making sure the children are getting more food than they are, especially nutritious food, then they can't be optimally performing at their job either. So having a place where you are paying 30% or less of your income on all of your housing allows you to have nutritious meals and focus on your children's education, your own continuing education, your community involvement. So many of the people we serve are working 2 and 3 jobs. And so they are not able to not only have self-care of just going home to relax, but they're not able to help their aging parent or their children or themselves with their own health issues. So it's key to all of those pieces, to so many pieces of health. I could go on for hours.
Well, it sounds like it's like a cog in the wheel, and it's a major cog. And if you don't have that, the wheel of life just kind of grinds to a halt. It sounds like maybe not quite in that respect, but certainly the aspects that you would want to be as free-flowing in terms of kids not having a barrier to their learning, not having a barrier to your interactions, not having a barrier to your work in terms of being able to have that affordable place. And like you said, affordable is not what people think. It's not what you can afford, you know, like say, you know, I bring home $1,000 a month. Well, sure, I can afford a $950 a month apartment, but you're saying it should be 50% of that or 30% of that. Otherwise, people really won't have the rest of the money that they need to take care of other expenses.
Yeah, housing costs should really not exceed 30% of your gross paycheck. If it's hitting 50%, you are way cost burdened. So the goal is to get that housing cost, and that includes whether it's rent, but it's also property taxes, homeowners insurance, and your mortgage payment at 30%, no more. Otherwise, you can't be proactive on your health care. You can't make that major car repair because you need a place to live. And so do you pay your rent or do you fix your car? Big decisions that are impacted by that.
So tell us a little bit more about what Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity does.
So we've been around since 1986, so we're almost to our 35th anniversary, which is a huge milestone for us. And yes, we are best known for building homes, affordable homes, but we also do a home repair and preservation program. The Restore is not just a great place to get deals. It's a huge way to keep all sorts of materials out of landfill. And I always love to talk about our partnership with the City of Colorado Springs. So we collect the porcelain, whether it's an old bathtub or toilets, from contractors or remodelers, and that gets saved, comes to us, gets saved, crushed into your road base by the city. We also keep, I can't remember how many gallons, I should know this number, but I don't off the top of my head, of paint out of the landfill, so you can bring up to 10 gallons of paint. So it's also very environmentally green organization. So our homes are very affordable because the utilities, the houses so well built, utilities run between $30 and $40 a month, and even in the winter. The advocacy piece, So on our advocacy, we are working with local through national legislators to say, hey, what pieces of legislation can we move that support affordable housing or address legislation that does not help people obtain affordable housing and help define that? So that a lot of concentration on that area.
Right. I love the idea of being able to also keep stuff out of the landfill. I mean, that's, you know, good environmental sense no matter which way you look at it.
Well, with the cost of homes, so many of our seniors, they want and deserve to age in their own place with dignity. So how do they do that when they're on a fixed income? And they may have multiple generations living with them now, and not everyone can afford to repair that home. So we work with other entities like Energy Resource Center to come in, and we do the external repairs, and somebody like Energy Resource Center will come in and do the internal, and that helps make these homes remain affordable and safe for seniors to continue to live in dignity in their own home as well.
And does that tie into this advocacy campaign that I understand Habitat has called Cost of Home? Tell us about that one.
So it's a five-year nationwide campaign, and it's designed to influence policies and systems to increase home affordability. And our goal is to increase that affordability for 10 million people, which sounds crazy, but that's just a drop in the bucket. But that's who we want to impact over 5 years. And this came about because one in six families in the U.S. and one in seven in Colorado pay more than 50% of their wages on housing. So they have to make those difficult choices that I was talking about between a safe home, nutritious food, health care, access to good schools, or reliable transportation. So, you know, if you have to make this decision, which one would you choose if you can only choose one? And we don't want people to have to make that choice. We want everyone to have access to affordable and decent housing. And so that's what this Cost of Home campaign is about. So each affiliate, and ours is one of 24 in Colorado, but there are approximately 1,300 across the country, each affiliate gets to decide if they want to be a participant in this Cost of Home nationwide campaign, and how are we going to do that. And so we are as active as we can be with it.
Oh, it sounds interesting, and you know, maybe overdue is what some might say. Chris Medina, Executive Director and CEO of Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. We're going to be continuing our discussion with her here on The Extra. And welcome back to The Extra, the show connecting you with issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And today, we are talking about it being World Habitat Day. The first Monday in October was declared to be World Habitat Day by the UN General Assembly. It's been going on for more than 30 years, but perhaps it's a day that doesn't get the attention it always deserves. So that's why we're focusing today's extra segments on World Habitat Day. And joining me to talk more about it, we have from Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity, Ms. Medina. Chris Medina, thank you so much again for your discussion. So we were talking about, you know, various programs that the Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity has. And one of the aspects, I think, that everyone associates with Habitat for Humanity is families that may have never been homeowners qualifying for home ownership through a combination of them being able to apply their finances, even in a limited way, toward it, but also their sweat equity toward gaining home ownership. So tell us, first of all, what do families do? How do they qualify for home ownership with Pikes Peak Habitat?
Sure. So there are three key qualifications that we look at. One is an actual need for affordable housing. Are they cost burdened? Are they paying more than 30%? In most of our families' cases, more than 50% of their income towards housing. Are they in an overcrowded or unsafe situation? Then they need to have an ability to pay an affordable mortgage. So there's a big misperception that Habitat gives these homes away, and that's not accurate at all. So each of our families, they prove that they can pay an affordable mortgage that is capped at, the mortgage is at 28% of their income. That includes their property taxes, their homeowner's insurance, and their mortgage. So they need to have a source of steady income. And then beyond that, they need to have that willingness to partner with us. So each person that's on title of the home, they put in 200 hours each of sweat equity, building their own homes, building their neighbors' homes, and that's how we help build community. They may be volunteering at the Restore. They can help volunteer on our repair program. And sometimes they come into the business office and help us with filing and that sort of thing. But 200 hours of sweat equity must be completed before they move in. That also includes 10 classes. So we want our homeowners to be as prepared as possible to transition from rental to ownership, because that's kind of a culture change.
Oh, sure.
So they have classes. Yeah, they have like
different responsibilities.
Planning, how to have a will. Mm-hmm. Many classes.
Interesting. And you said, I interrupted you, I'm sorry, but you were saying they have to know that they have to make sure that they have things in place, like for a will and things like that?
Yeah, we have an estate planning class, so they learn about a will and how do they pass this home on if they're to pass away, how basic home maintenance. You have this home, now you know, you're actually responsible for changing the furnace filter, not a landlord. Your landscape, how do you keep your trees alive? Did you know that you're supposed to water them in the winter? Budgeting, that's always a huge piece, basic budgeting, and how do you create that budget? How do you stick by it? Personal financing. So there's understanding your credit. A lot of us don't even look at our credit report, not even annually, and you need to know what's on that credit report and how is it impacting your ability to obtain credit. And as you're a homeowner, we report your payments to the credit agencies, and that's a great way to build your credit. So, there's all sorts of things.
And with the impact this year of COVID-19, what do you think the hardships are going to be like for families who are already dealing with perhaps a housing difficulties, you know, being able to keep their housing costs at that level of, you know, 30% or even sometimes even trying to keep it under 50% might be out of their reach?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's not even just locally, it's nationally and globally. When, especially with the amount of job loss that is occurring, and I know people are getting jobs back slowly but surely. However, the amount, when you have job loss, whether it's you're the sole supporter or even if there's a dual supporter in the household, that income hit is going to take a big impact on your housing, because that's usually your biggest cost. So do you stay where you are? Do you end up facing eviction? Do you have multiple people move in with you to help make that rent payment? Do you move in with others? Are you or your children going to be separated over a number of homes to each kind of couch surf? So that's probably the biggest impact we're seeing with our families. And then let's say they're able to keep their housing, but they're not able to be proactive on their medical or on eating well. And so that impacts health. And unfortunately, when people are sheltering in place, as you know, as has been recommended, children are not in school and they're not seeing their counselors and their teachers. So cases of abuse are not being reported, and that's whether it's spousal or child abuse. And that's also a huge piece to this. So having stable and affordable housing can so dramatically reduce that impact that not only harms those people directly, but it harms our community's health.
Right. It is a crisis that's being faced on many different levels, and certainly a lot of them can compound, can basically just be concentrated in folks who are challenged when it comes to their housing costs. How does Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity find sustainability to do the work that you do?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's crazy right now. Lumber costs have gone up 160% since April.
Wow.
So the number of homes we'll be able to build as construction costs, they were already crazy high to begin with lumber or labor shortage. And for us, the cost of land is almost unobtainable. What has made this sustainable for us to move forward, at least in the next 5 years? We've had a donor who is donating 30 developed lots to us, and hopefully we'll be able to start building on that in November or December. So that's those donations of whether it's in-kind, which is non-cash, but and cash and volunteers, that's huge. And our volunteer force has decreased because of COVID, but our core volunteers are still getting those homes built. So for us to be sustainable, we need the volunteers to help us. The other thing that's huge in moving us forward is the restore. And honestly, it's been a financial risk for us to have only one restore. So by opening a second, which we will be up off of Tet and Powers area, that is going to help us to be more sustainable. We had hoped to increase the number of homes we built with that second restore. If costs continue to increase, construction costs, then it may be that that keeps us sustainable in building, you know, up to 8 homes a year and just keeps us steady on
the same level.
Yeah.
Well, and folks can support Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity in many ways. The website to find out more is pikespeakhabitat.org. And there I'm sure that people can find out about volunteer opportunities, donation opportunities, as well as learning opportunities. And perhaps you would like to tap into some of the services that Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity offers. So that's your website to go to. The conversation continues here on KRDO News Radio. The Extra is after this. And welcome back to The Extra and our guest today, Chris Medina, Executive Director and CEO of Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. We are celebrating World Habitat Day. We're going to continue our talk about that, but first I want to kind of circle back to what you were mentioning about the restore and the second restore location that's now opened up in the northeast part of Colorado Springs. And for those who don't know what a restore is, it is a place that offers people's, I guess, discarded items, whether it's building materials, sometimes doors, sometimes it's offered then for resale. It's not fixed up in any way in terms of that. That's something that's on you, but you can go there to find all sorts of things. And I just have to list for you, Chris, because you'll appreciate. I'm a loyal Restore customer. I took a door and made it into a closet desk. That was one of my things. I took I think there was an old sideboard from the Broadmoor, and I made it into a dresser with some baskets. I took a headboard, painted it. It's in my guest room. I took some sort of cabinet and made it into a liquor cabinet. I told you about my picture frame. I mean, the list goes on and on. And that's the kind of thing that I look for. I'm not a builder, but I see builders all the time that are going in there for things like tiles and cabinets. And if you go in there with the right measurements, who knows what you'll find. I even saw a piano there the other day. So amazing things that people can find at the Restore. But exactly what does that do in terms of helping to fund your mission?
So the items that come in, whether they're new or they're being repurposed, we sell at, you know, anywhere from 50% to sometimes 80% below what you'll find in new box stores. We're not trying to compete with the box stores, and they don't generally sell new and used and repurposed items. So we keep the prices very affordable, and we don't negotiate those prices, though, just so folks know that. When folks come and say, hey, you know, I'm looking for this gadget with my Victorian house, or I need brand new windows, which we also get in at times, or I want to upgrade my cabinets, or I need cabinets for my garage, can I get that here, or how do I repurpose this item? I've seen a great child's bench made out of storage bench made out of kitchen cabinet doors. So the Restore is there to help educate people on what you can do with this item, or say, okay, well, here's some possibilities of where you may find that, because we never know from day to day what's going to be in that store. You may be looking for something specific, and we may not have it that day. But we can keep an eye out. We actually have shoppers who come in anywhere from one time every day to 3 and 4 times every day to see what's coming off those trucks. So what it does is about last year, 2 years ago, we grossed over $2 million. Last year, our year ends June with COVID. We came in just under $2 million gross, which is records for us. At least 50, so, and our margin or the net proceeds from all of that, so the Restore totally funds itself, funds our administrative operations. Then it was still able to underwrite or fund 6 of the 8 homes that we were building at the time. So that is a key aspect to us being able to purchase the materials to buy, to build the homes that the volunteers come in and build with us.
Wow. Wow. I knew it was significant. I didn't realize it, how significant it was. And it's all also fueled and by your donations of items that you might otherwise be going to the landfill with. So keep that in mind. If you perhaps are cleaning out after an estate sale, that is a great place for those items to go. So let's talk about World Habitat Day. Other than marking it today and talking about all these efforts, what can people do to celebrate it throughout the rest of the year?
You know, you need to be a gift to your neighbor, especially right now. We're also focused on our own issues, and we're not even, you know, supposed to be out in public a lot. If you can be a gift to your neighbor, check on the aged. Those who are caring for their parents, their ill spouses, their children. See if their yard needs help. Are there trip zones for our elderly or for those who are maybe have mobility issues? You need to help be the eyes and the voice of what decent, affordable housing is. Do you have someone who needs, you're upset because the paint on their house is chipping? Well, you know what? 70 and 80 year olds aren't going to be out there painting their own homes. Can you get a group of neighbors together? Come to the ReStore. You can possibly find some paint. But come together and help be a solution to affordable housing. When you hear people say, I don't want that group building, whether it's affordable rental units or affordable permanent housing in my neighborhood, you know what? Those units, they do not reduce your property values. Become informed. Learn about what decent, affordable housing is. And go out and volunteer. Take at least one day. That's what our Women Build is all about. Women being empowered one day a year to go out, learn about affordable housing, build on our construction site, be a voice to say everyone needs to live in dignity. And not everyone can live in dignity if we aren't all working together to make that happen. That's what World Habitat Day is about. Read those books, get on websites, learn about the organizations in the area. And when you hear affordable housing, take those cringing feelings you may have, put them to the side, and gain accurate information from those organizations that are serving our community and making it stronger and seeing that everyone has a decent place to live.
Right. Powerful words. Powerful. And I just want to lend my 2 cents to it. You know, my husband and I, I think it was our 4th date, we went on a Habitat for Humanity build, volunteer build. And I think that's when I decided I was going to marry him, because I knew that any person that would give of themselves so selflessly was someone who was a good egg, as they would say. We want to thank another good egg, Chris Medina, who's the CEO and Executive Director of Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. Get involved, like she said. Learn more. Go to pikespeakhabitat.org to find out more. And as you said, find out the statistics, learn more, so you can mark World Habitat Day in the manner in which the United Nations intended it to be observed, in which all people deserve a decent shelter, decent habitat. And Chris, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Always my pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
And again, Chris Medina, Executive Director and CEO of Pikes Peak Habitat for Humanity. I'm your host, Shannon Brenius, bringing you this edition of The Extra. We'll see you again tomorrow.